We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Kuf Lamed Beis, and we'll dedicate our learning to Liora Bat Adam. Hashem should bless her, and she should Be'ezrat Hashem be zocheh that her wishes should be fulfilled speedily. The Magid Midubna had been discussing that there's one more aspect of fear that is really encompassing of all of one's life, and that is the concern one should have over the Yetzer Hara that is always waiting and lurking, ready to cause a person to stumble. And he quoted the story about a wise man who met a battalion returning victoriously from war. And he said to them, I'm happy to see you guys are so happy, but have you prepared yourself for the great war that's coming? And they asked him, what great war is coming? And he said to them, the war within, the war to conquer yourselves, the war to be great people from within. And then he continues and says, we're up to the second paragraph. Re'e gam re'e. Take note, he says. Im hayita olech baderech ba'galot tu'unot tzchor arde. Imagine you were traveling and you had wagons filled with goods. Ve'ni shincha. And you're all alone. Rak ata levadcha. You're traveling, you alone. Uve'emtza aderech tishma. And as you're traveling, you hear. Asher shama ne'ogu kama anashim socharim. That exactly where you're standing, quite a few merchants before you have been murdered. I had this. I was just in New York. I had to travel northward in New York City. And there are neighborhoods over there that are not so pleasant. And I didn't know where I was going. So I had this GPS. And I didn't know exactly how to use it. So I made a wrong turn. And then it says, recalculating. And as he's talking to me about recalculating, I'm seeing all kinds of people all around me looking at me. And my car is loaded with luggage, so it looks like I'm interesting prey. And I couldn't figure out how to lock the doors from within. You know, it was one of those things that on the keychain you could lock the door, but there's no lock button on the door itself. So I'm standing there looking, and I see people looking at me. And I'm waiting for the GPS. So he says, imagine you're traveling, you have a lot of goods, you're all alone, which is where I was. And you know that you're in a place that a lot of people before you have been killed for their goods. And after they were killed, so obviously all their wares were taken. You have no choice. You have to keep traveling here. That's where I was. What am I going to do? I don't even know where to go. And what was worse was I turned into a back alleyway. It was like one street that leads up to the highway, which was where I was supposed to go, and I took the right side of the fork and ended up in this dark little alleyway with a lot of people all around me looking at me. So he says, now you have to move. You're there. You have nowhere to go. Halobein safek palatzut yuchazucha. Undoubtedly, he says, you're going to be gripped with fear. Chilu adai aviluha. You'll find trembling and fear, you'll be scared. V'imalze pakachta inecha, patitbonem benafshecha, haloma asher biyadcha hevel varik. So if you take note of this, if you think about it, so then, what do you have? Everything over your wares, you're worried, and you realize that you're in this place, and at any minute, your whole life could change, right? Any second now, everything could change. וגם אם לא יירשך זה, and let's say you make it out alive, ותינצל מכף מעוול וחומץ העומד על הפרק להחית כל עבר אורח. And you make it out alive, and הלא אם כל זה לא תיקח את הרכוש הזה עמך למקומך. But where are you going with all your goods? At the end of the day, as they say, you can't take it with you. כי אם אשר יצא ממך הוא יירשך, your children will inherit everything you have. So imagine you made it out safely. Thank God. Okay. You're here to tell the tale. ואולי שונאיך המבקשים להדוף אותך ממצבך, הם הירביון מדשן ביתך ונחל אדניך? Either, at the end of the day, your children will inherit everything you've amassed, Or your competition that's always been trying to bury you will finally be successful and bury you. And they'll take all your wealth. You don't know where things will end up. Now let's say a person would be caught at the hands of those murderers. So God ultimately gives one life. And God gives the soul life. And you know, although life over here is finite, but God gives us infinite life ultimately, and it could be that the murderer is harming himself more than he's harming you. And maybe sometimes the best thing you could do to a person is to take everything away from him. Maybe Yosef tells the brothers, "You thought you were harming me." And ultimately that was the source of how I became the great viceroy of the world. 40 years, Yosef is king of the world. There was a man who was called into his boss one day. And his boss notified him that after years of loyal service, they're firing him. And he wasn't very skilled at any profession. He walked out of the office shocked and stunned and not knowing where he's going with life. And he's walking around New York City thinking, what can he do now? And he feels like he really needs a cigarette. None of you know what that means, right? He needs to take a smoke. And he's looking, and there are no smoking shops all around him. And he goes to the next block, nothing. And the next block, nothing. And you know what? He started those little stands that sell the newspapers, the drinks. And today, he's a multimillionaire. But it all started because he was fired. He was walking on the street looking for a cigarette. And then he realized, hey, wait a second, I'm probably not the only one. We have to start. And then he went and he figured out how to get permits from the city. And he started with one and developed into another. And so sometimes when you take something from someone, that's the biggest favor. Because you're really giving him potential for tremendous growth. Like Yosef said to his brothers. So the Magen Dovna says, you're worried they're going to take it from you. One of the rules that we're taught repeatedly in Jewish thought is that we don't ultimately know what's for good or bad. We don't know. Sometimes things seem to be the worst thing in the world, and yet they're the greatest thing in the world. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was at a point where he couldn't continue learning, and his family had almost nothing left to eat, and he applied for a position for the rabbinate in a certain city. And they accepted him for the rabbinate. And he was waiting, in a few months they were going to send for him. And he was at a point where he had one garment. When he'd go to the river to wash his clothing, he'd wear his coat because he had nothing underneath to wear. So he'd go to the river and wash his clothing with his coat because there was nothing under the coat. That's how poor he and his family was. And during the course of those months, he got a letter from that city that they hired someone else. Turns out that someone on the committee had a relative that they decided they want in the position. So even though the committee had officially taken him on as Rav of the town, they changed their mind. And he and his wife wept bitterly because that meant he had no choice but to travel to Canada and to leave his wife and kids. And over there he was offered a position in the rabbinate. And he did. He traveled to Canada and left his wife and children until he would save enough money to bring them over. And the day they got that letter, they were destroyed. They realized that they'd have to separate for such a long time and who knows when the family would be reunited. And so he traveled to Canada, and there was a wealthy individual in the Kehillah who liked him a lot. And after a few weeks, he realized that the rabbi's all alone because he hasn't saved up the money to bring over his family. So he said, "Rabbi, I'll give you the money and you'll pay me back over the course of the next few years. As you make money and you save money, instead of bringing them over in the end, you'll bring them over now and you'll pay me back the loan over time," which is what he did. There's nothing left of that town in Europe. That rabbi and his whole community perished. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and his wife were weeping when they got that letter. But the truth is, it saved his life. Had they not received that letter, had he really been accepted to that post in Europe, we wouldn't have had a Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. So we don't know how history plays itself out. You never know. But what we do know is that there's nothing left of that town. It tells us the Magen Midubna, when you travel in an area that's dangerous, you're worried for your life. You're worried for your goods. And you know what? What happens if they take your goods? Who says it's the worst thing in the world? Maybe that's a source of blessing. You never know. Maybe because you won't have your goods, you'll be forced to figure something else out and tremendous things will come of it. There was an older bachelor traveling through the Midwest, and it was Friday afternoon, and he had to get to a certain place for Shabbos. And he had a flat tire, and he couldn't get there for Shabbos. So he was stuck in a different community. So, of course, he verified where the Jews lived there, and he stayed with them for Shabbos. And to make a long story short, I met his children now when I was in the States. He only met his wife because of that flat tire, and he got stuck in that town. He wasn't supposed to be in that town for Shabbos. So we never know where things are leading us. So he says, and what would happen if they take all your goods? So maybe they'll take all your goods, and it'll be a source of blessing for you. You don't know. And yet you're very worried. When you know that it's a dangerous neighborhood, you're worried about all your money and your assets and your goods. And even if you meet with a gangster, maybe when he sees you, he'll like you and he won't be so cruel to you. Look, Yaakov met Esav and things worked out in the end. Yaakov walked away without being robbed. And if you're so worried about your wealth, which is like that tree that God made for Jonah. Remember, Jonah was sitting in the sweltering sun, and suddenly God made a tree called the Kikayon grow to give him shade. And then the next day, God made it rot. And then Jonah was mortified over the fact that he's again sitting in the sun. And God asked him, "You're so destroyed over one little tree I created for you, and I shouldn't worry about a whole city of people." So the Magen Midubna is borrowing from that story, and he says, look, you're worried about your assets. You're worried about that little tree, the Kikayon. Asher bin laila yao bin laila avad, as God says to Jonah, it came overnight, it left overnight. Look at how worried you are that maybe you'll lose it. So how come you're not so worried, says the Magen Midubna, over your soul? We're so worried about our assets. It was interesting. They asked me to talk at the Afrof. So I didn't want to offend the Chassam, so I did not speak this way because I was scared everyone would think I'm talking about him. But I wasn't really talking about him. I wanted to get up there and talk to them like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very glad to be here today. I'll be with you 1 second. Yeah. It is really a pleasure to be here. Just 1 second, just a text message. It's very important. To be here with you on this offer, boy, you know these emails, they're important. Just 1 second. We live in a day and age where every second you're talking to people, they're with you. In a second. For a second. It's already become a norm that people are talking to you and they're looking down at their palm as they talk to you. What are we so busy with? And if God forbid the stock market crashes, then people don't leave it. They're looking at it every second. What's going to be with my assets? What about your soul, says the Magen Midubna? How come you don't have a little palm that notifies you, hey, you just did something wrong? How come you don't say, oh, they have that already, okay. How come we're always looking about everything else? We're very concerned about everything else that's financial. But what about the spiritual? Magenita Tava, our soul is such a precious gem, Chatsubami Makom Gavoa, that's been queried from such high places. Chelek Eloka Mimal. It is a portion of God above. Ve'echlo pachata birot atzmecha. How come you're not worried when you know you have such a long journey? This lifetime is such a journey, and you have a long ways to go. Our sages use the following metaphor. The Talmud says you have a small amount of food for a long journey. And so we have a long journey, we have a life ahead of us, and we have to accomplish in this life. It's not just about, I put bread on the table, I was a good Jew, I bought my Israeli bonds, and I gave my donations, I paid my dues to the shul. No, God has expectations of each of us. We each have accomplishments that are waiting for us, and that there's no one else in the world who could accomplish accomplishments in Torah, accomplishments in Chesed. We have a journey. We were put in this world with a purpose, and we have to accomplish certain things. And so he says, you have such a journey, and you have such wealth, and how come you're not worried about that? You think about your financial aspect, you think about your finances, you think about your wealth, you think about your investments. But what about the spiritual parts of life? You have such wealth. You have the keys to all the worlds. Every person was given certain keys. And this is a phenomenal concept. The idea that we each come to this world with keys. Now, we have to know that we don't all have the same keys. But we all have keys. And we have opportunities to use those keys. The time you spend at the Machon has certain opportunities. The time you spend in college has other opportunities. The time you spend in first years of marriage has third opportunities. When I was in yeshiva, so come Friday night, I'd finish the meal quickly, go up and learn for another half hour, hour, and go to sleep before anyone finished the meal. So people came to me and said, don't you think you should enjoy the singing? So I said, I do. I listen to the singing as I'm learning. I enjoy the singing. So they said, don't you think you should join the singing with everyone else? So I said, no. So they said, and when you'll be married? I said, when I'll be married and I have a wife and kids, then I'll have to sing. That'll be, at that stage in life, that'll be my responsibility, to sing with the kids. Now I'm at a stage where I don't need it, and you don't need it. So if I don't need it, I'm happy spending my Shabbos learning, and no one else needs me singing. So I better take advantage of this time now. It's the only time I have in life when I could have a quick Shabbos meal, enjoy the Shabbos meal, and after 15, 20 minutes, be back in the Beis Medrash learning. When I'll be married, then I'll have a different responsibility. Different stages in life, you're supposed to use different keys. There are different responsibilities. There are people who need the Shabbos singing. There's nothing wrong with the guy who's learning in yeshiva and spends the hour singing with the guy. It's good for him. At that stage in my life, I didn't feel I needed it. So a person has to know that different stages have different keys. And the Magen Midubna says, we have to think about it. We were given keys, we were given responsibility, and we have all those keys. Lintosh v'lintotz livnot v'lintoa. We have potential to be destructive or productive. As God says to us in the Torah, behold, I've given you a choice today, and today means every day. We continuously have a choice to choose between life and that which is good, and death and that which is bad. And what does the Pasuk say next? Uvachalta b'chayim. God says, choose life. You know what Hamas's motto is? We love death as much as the Jews love life. Fantastic. Think about it. The Torah tells us, uvachalta b'chayim, choose life. Now you think, what does the Torah have to tell me that for? As my father always says, that we each have a tendency like a moth. We're attracted to fire. You guys ever see inside those lamps, you see how many moths get in there and never get out? So we all have that tendency. Sometimes you see it in dating. We're attracted to things that are dangerous. I'll tell you a phenomenal story. My brother met here in Israel a couple who were really the founders of the science of reading people's handwriting. So, what's it called? I forgot what it's called.
Graphology,
right. So, this woman told him the following story. A young lady comes to her and says, I'm dating a guy, and I want you to see his handwriting and tell me what you think. So she reads through the handwriting and she says, I'm really sorry to tell you, I think the guy's a crook. This guy really doesn't seem honest. I don't think he is what he's showing you. This is a guy that's really is a con artist. I would not marry this guy. Fine. The girl leaves. She's getting older. Time passes. She comes a second time. She says, look, I listened to you the first time. Now I'm on the verge of getting engaged. I brought you more papers. Tell me what you think.
Same guy?
No, different guy. She reads through the papers and she says, you know, I feel terrible, but this guy's a thief. I would not marry this guy. The guy is a thief. I'm telling you, it's, what can I say? And she doesn't know if the girl's going to listen to her or not. Years pass, and she meets the girl on the street, and she's pregnant. So you don't know what to say. You know, did she marry the second guy? Didn't she marry the second guy? So she hesitates. She walks over. Hi, how are you? And they start talking, and the girl tells her that she really broke up with the second guy, and she married someone else. So the woman said to her, oh, but you didn't bring me his handwriting. So she said a fantastic line. She said, when it's the right one, you don't need any of that. What does that mean? That deep down inside, she also knew it wasn't right. And we all have that. That when we're about to do something, there's that voice that tells us, no, you shouldn't be doing this. But we're also attracted to that which is dangerous, to that which can be destructive to ourselves. And so the Torah has to tell us, "Uvachata b'chaim," choose life, because we won't always choose life. Sometimes it's more enticing to do marijuana. Sometimes it's more enticing to go drag racing. Sometimes it's more enticing to go on a binge. And there are a lot of things that attract us, and we know they're dangerous. The Torah tells us, "Uvachata b'chaim." Sometimes you need the Torah to tell you choose life. ומלאך אכזרי עומד לנגדך ורבו שלופה בידו לעטותך מן הדרך. How come, says the Magen Midubna, we're not concerned about the choices we make in life. We're more worried about what stocks we pick than we are about the choices that really define who we are, the choices that will affect our spirituality. And there is that cruel angel standing opposite us with his sword outstretched, trying to cause us to err. ואתה יחיד בודד וגלמוד. And just like when you were traveling down that path, you were all alone, well, you're also all alone in contending with life's challenges, with the desires that we know can bring us down. There's no one who could help you fight your battles. At the end of the day, every one of us has to control ourselves alone. It's our own challenge, and it's a daily, and it's a challenge that repeats itself from minute to minute and from day to day. And that's like Hillel said, if I don't stand up for myself, who will? That means if I won't create the me who I'm supposed to be, no one else can do it for me. And the truth is, Chazal say, that the Yetzer Hara is far more powerful than we are. And without prayer and worry and thinking about it and investing in it, we don't stand a chance. There's a fantastic story about the Netziv. The Netziv was learning in Beis Medrash all alone when he was a bachar. And the Mashgiach came over to him and said, who's your chavrusa? Everyone's supposed to be learning the chavrusa. So the Netziv said, my chavrusa is the Yetzer Hara. So the Mashgiach said, why would you learn with a fellow like that? So the Netziv said two reasons. One, because he's much smarter than I am. And two, because whenever I want to learn, he's ready. So the Magen Midubna says, how come we're worried about the financial world and we're not worried about the spiritual world? In the spiritual world, we have to contend with this Yetzer Hara. We have to contend with this angel that's standing there, and we really don't have the strength to stand up against him unless we really put our mind to it. We think about it, we pray about it, to the point where we get assistance from above. With heavenly assistance, then you get that thundering tornado coming down with fire to help us stand up against this Yetzer Hara. And that's really what the Talmud tells us. Every day our desire is standing there ready to take us down. And without God's help, we couldn't stand up to him. You guys know the story about the girl who dumped me. I told the story. Yeah, you know the story. Shai will tell you the story. Okay, the other guys don't know. I was dating a girl, and on the second or third date, she asked me, where do you see yourself in 20 years? I said, I don't know. She said, what do you mean? You're not going to be learning Torah? I said, I don't know. I know that every morning I get up, and the Yetzer Hara is standing there strong against me, and he's pulling me in many directions. There are a lot of things I'd like to do. And so far, I've been winning the battle. Do I know what'll be tomorrow? I don't know what'll be tomorrow. Yeah, I don't know. You're asking me 20 years from now? I can't sign a contract what'll be in 20 years. So far, this is where I am. Where do I want to see myself in 20 years? I'd like to be there in 20 years. Do I know that I'll be there? I have no idea. So she dumped me. It wasn't a good enough answer for her. It happens to be that I wanted to set her up with her husband. So someone else beat me to it. I didn't think she'd hear it from me. I asked someone else to set up the sheriff, and he said no. So he didn't think it made sense, and I kept badgering him. But by the time he got to it, someone else already set her up, and I'm good friends with her husband. So Baruch Hashem, he's still learning Torah. Hasn't been 20 years yet, but he's still learning Torah. The Talmud tells us the Yetzer Hara is naturally stronger than we are, and we need Hashem's help to stand up to him. So the Magen Midubna says, so why are we worried if we have to go down a dark alley? We're worried about our wallet. But life is really a dark alley where we have to contend with the Yetzer Hara. And what thought do we invest in that? We have to think about it, because if we prepare ourselves and think about it and invest in it and daven about it, so that's when we'll be successful. It's really a point to think about. How will I be successful? And one of the points we should take away from all we've been learning here is that it doesn't work on autopilot. Meaning the nature of life is that on autopilot you go down. If you want to go up, it involves planning, it involves thinking, it involves being prepared for the downs. Someone once asked me if I recommend that people go into stocks or Forex. I said no. So they said, why? I said, because even if you have the best advice and you enter the most profitable stocks, most people don't have the nerves to weather the downs. The second it goes down and they start seeing their loss, they pull out, and that's when you lost money. So if you can't weather the downs, you can't get to the ups. Nothing just goes up. Everything goes up and down and up and down. You got to be prepared for the downs. Well, the same thing's in the spiritual world. You got to be prepared to weather the downs. Life is not about just ups, but you have to plan, you have to pray. You have to realize that you're up against the formidable opponent. And you have the tools, you have the potential, and you have the responsibility. Every one of us has those keys and those responsibilities throughout our days for certain accomplishments. And the only way we'll get there is if we take the time to plan and realize that there's tremendous responsibility on each of our shoulders to accomplish.